Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, when I get done playing hockey with the Washington Capitals alumni, my skivvies would be off and my shorts would be back on as fast as anybody. Yeah. There are other guys just walk around the locker room showing the anaconda.
Sure.
All, you know, just having a conversation with a Labatt's beer in their hand, and you're looking at it like, you know, like a clock in a town square, just going... You know, I have turned a corner in imbibing. It's just not my thing anymore.
But you did.
Not to the degree that it is normally.
You sound like you're having a great time.
Well, it's not to the degree.
Poindexter.
Hey, Kip, how's Muffy doing?
How do you keep your seersucker from wilting?
Yeah. Amazon has applied for a patent involving a non-contact biometric identification system that would be tied to scans of a person's palm. They have you.
They got me.
You are there. You will not be able to run away from the exploding head for Running Man.
It's Amazon.com and Brazzers.com. They got me.
Both great. And both involve your palm.
That's true. All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hey, everybody!
Oh, no.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our... what's so goddamn funny?
Nothing.
To the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Orcas Island, Washington, Branford, Connecticut, Medford, Oregon, Cape Coral, Florida. Hey, that's just down the road. Point Reyes Station, California, and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We are back, and it's great to be back with you guys. Thank you for covering for
Missed
me
you.
While I had my just a little work done, and I know I look worse than I feel. I feel terrific.
Is it weepy?
It's just a little sore. It's a little sore,
and then
a little sore over here.
I didn't realize you. I didn't see that. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know about
it. At least it's healing.
Yes.
It's healing. I gave the guys a report over the weekend.
Fast healer.
And it's, and I should be A-okay. I suppose I should, for purposes of explanation, mention the fact that for a very, very long time, my right eye, which is this one, I know the cameras get things screwed up, had a little issue that I wanted to see a good doctor down here about, and no, I'm not. I don't have anything wrong with me.
Oh, I was gonna say, aren't you excited, Mike?
Ow!
To finally see a 3D movie?
No, I didn't. Well, I just thought I'd do that for fun.
I think
you
tell for those. And great video day, by the way.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. Oh,
I gotta clean off my. Back.
Is that Mike had lesions on his face?
Yes, and weeping lesions.
He didn't cover
weeping horrible lesions.
He didn't cover them up with a bandage.
No, right, exactly.
So the fact that you would even So I worked with a gentleman once. His name was Graham. Was a morning show guy at WHFS, and then became a successful weatherman in Denver, Colorado. Got out of the radio game altogether.
Mm.
But he was so obsessed with being on television, and mind you, he got further than most people. He got onto MTV as like a weekend VJ.
He did weather on MTV, didn't he?
This is a younger man.
Oh, okay.
Pay attention. They said to him, hey, if you get a chin job, the probabilities of you getting like a full-time gig, like 100%.
Like
that's
the
only issue you had. You have like this, we need you to square out your chin.
You know, that's kind of a reverse Jay Leno, because when Jay Leno got started, they told him to reduce his chin.
Reduce his chin. Well, he had the chin. He was known as the chin.
They said he was going to frighten people.
And I always admired, Mike, that, you know, people probably come to you or you know, certainly you've come to me and said certain things and said, if you did this, you could do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Physically.
Right.
Like
exactly.
If you lost weight, if you bulked up, if you did this, this, and that. And it takes someone to commit all the way. 2 months later, surgery, chin job.
Really?
He got it done. How did he look?
Well, he looked great, but what I'm getting to is that he came to work every day with his bandages and everything and did his show.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Did his show.
I don't know if I'd ever do that. I don't know if I'd ever have a procedure.
I think you have the confidence, though, that if you had something done, you'd come and do the show.
How bad were his bandages? Was like the 1930s where someone would get a tooth pulled and they'd have like a rag tied around their head? Or how bad were his bandages?
Oh, you're thinking of mumps.
Oh, yeah, the mumps, too.
That's what they used to do. They tie the jaw thing.
Yeah, and almost have bunny ears.
You're turning this into a Charlie Chaplin movie.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how bad it is.
Where they had that's the 1910s.
Your wife had a plastic surgery.
Yeah, and I'm wondering.
You know what it looks like?
I'm wondering how bad his bandages were for a chin because, you know, Carrie got the full ride. So, I mean, she was like, he got like a $12 car wash. He got like the $38
There was a lot of gauze, and there was changing and dressing midday.
The worst.
The sad part is this. 9/11 happened.
That was sad.
And then, well, for his career. And then all his momentum to be on television, done.
Really?
Gone. Really? They weren't hiring new VJs in the middle of a natural catastrophe.
I look at 40 years, you know, 40 years of looking like this. You know, what am I going to change my stripes
But you
now?
Didn't look like this in your 20s.
In my 20s, I was, when I got out of American University, I was starting, you know, to really dive into Schlubtown.
I've seen pictures. No, you look good.
Well,
you're probably 100 pounds lighter. Easy.
That's nice.
Right?
No, I was not. I was not. I was, but I was lighter. Yeah, I was lighter. My point is,
I didn't like the look of just the mustache.
It's never been a thing for me. I've never been even at my prime when I was an athlete, when I was a hockey player, and I was in the best shape of my life in the 1980s or 70s. Let's be honest.
Let's
the
say,
70s.
No, I early saw a 80s. Picture of you on the point in Maine with your. With your golf shirt tucked in to your khaki pants. And I said, well, that's Mike O'Mara right there.
Yep, yeah, but still probably a little, not exactly chiseled in my life.
But
you
not
know?
Embarrassing.
I mean, not embarrassing, no. But but embarrassment would follow, you know, not 5 years later.
I don't know, Mike. I don't know that we've ever gotten to the point of embarrassment, have we?
Well, yeah. I'm embarrassed. I was embarrassed to go into the ocean.
So embarrassed.
You know, yeah. I mean, because really, when you see certain bodies, you know, guys that, well, there are two things. You've got the guys that have the six packs that, mm-hmm. you know, any excuse to take their shirts off.
Yes.
And then you see the guys that, you know, are in locker rooms.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I get done playing hockey with the Washington Capitals alumni, you know, my skivvies would be off and my shorts would be back on as fast as anybody. Yeah. There are other guys that would, you know, just walk around the locker room showing the anaconda.
Sure.
All, you know, just having a conversation with a Labatt's beer in their hand, and you're looking at it like, you know, like a clock in a town square, just going, you know? They didn't care because they got it.
What is this, Hilldale?
If you got it, flaunt it. That's where we were.
But you went straight to, comparing submarines. We're talking about just body type.
Body type.
You can
is,
still be packing.
But I'll speak for myself. You get to a point where you look like the guy on the game Operation, where you can be naked and it's still okay. You can still do a G-rated film.
Let me say, truth be told, so you can all get mad at me now. Not the guys. They know where I was. I was in an invitational golf tournament mm-hmm. over the weekend with my friend Skip, who invited me to play. Didn't really invite me. I bribed him. To let me play in the tournament at my at Cocoonville, where I got a chance to reunite with all my guys, and they do this down here in March, and I'm here to say that we won.
Congratulations.
And we won our flight. There were 11 flights, and we won our flight against six other teams, and then the weather from hell came in, and it went from the way you do it is you win your flight, and then you go to a shootout.
Yes.
And then in the shootout, the winner of the shootout wins the overall. They had to postpone the shootout, and then the weather was so bad that they decided it was going to be one shot
per team.
Two guys get one shot at it to be closest to the pin.
Just like the 17th hole at the Players.
It's just like the 17th hole at the Players.
Yeah.
Much easier golf course. But the problem
was this weekend.
It's kind of, as we all said, kind of anticlimactic because you know, it comes down to one shot, and if it was four holes, and a couple of guys won, and we got a little trophy, everybody gets a trophy.
Good. And then back to the locker room.
And my partner was an animal all weekend, was just fantastic.
How did you play?
And I played well when I needed to.
Attaboy.
That's what I did. And so
is it best ball?
It's best ball of two.
Yes. I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Strong. Keeps it fast.
And we our record in five matches was 4-0-1. Yeah. We were undefeated, one
this
tie.
Is, wow.
And
this is great.
We lapped the field.
You come back fantastic. A champion. You go to a better club. Better facilities.
I came back. You're damn
people.
Right.
Yeah,
I came back as champion.
A champion.
Exactly.
And it's not, you know, it's not a champion, but the goal is to win your flight.
It's all mindset.
And we won our flight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's you won.
It. And,
perfect.
You know, I got another trophy.
Yeah.
I got a few.
Yeah,
of
what
them.
Are they going to say? Oh, I guess it's really working out over there.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. It was, you know, but it feels good to
be a winner.
It's real competition. Yeah. Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Yeah.
So I'm happy.
We knew that you were having a great time because you somehow individually butt dialed.
Yeah, I got four of them.
All of us.
And you got how many?
Carla got a ton of them.
Yes.
How come you think?
Because iPhones suck ass. That's why.
Yeah. You sounded, and this is me, when I hear that you are not interested in my call and you've butt dialed me, I hang up right away. Because I was like, oh, he's out with his friends. I thought you were at happy hour.
Right.
And then Rob said, no, I listened for a while, because that's who Rob is.
No, you're misquoting me. You're misquoting me.
What did you say?
I said, I tried to get his attention for a while. I heard noise in the background. I said, this guy's okay, and I hung up. Because the last thing I want is for you to think that I hung up on you. Because you would not have any patience for that.
I know Carla complained. I don't know what day it was. It was a day where I
Friday.
Had thrown.
It was Friday.
Most of the day, my phone is not with me. And then when I throw it into my pocket at the end of the day, I will tell you.
We heard jocularity.
I have turned a corner.
Jocularity?
I have turned a corner in imbibing. It's just not my thing anymore.
But you did.
Not to the degree that it is normally.
You sound like you're having a great time.
Well, it's not to the degree.
Poindexter.
And I have to correct myself. Only three calls.
Carlton.
345, 347, and 348 is the times that I got.
Mumsy. Hey, Kip, how's Muffy doing?
How do you keep your seersucker from wilting?
wrong place. It was.
How about them Hawkeyes?
Yeah, now they're right. Oscar guy.
There you go.
Hold on, let me give Oscar
wins.
The ding. There you go. There. There it is. That's what everybody was into.
Yeah. Well, it,
really
you know,
missed
we're
it.
Out, we're on
really
the
missed them. Uh-huh. But anyhow, it was. I will tell you that. It just wasn't my thing. And when you don't participate in the heavy pounding, you get to observe some of the other pounding.
Others.
And one particular young man was the son of a member, and he was he enjoyed the imbibing probably more than the actual golf itself.
Okay.
And he was.
How common is that among the club scene?
Well, I mean, it depends. They're just guys get banged up and then try to recover. It's a real recovery mission if you socialize. I did light socializing, and I did early golf, like getting there early and getting ready.
Okay.
And my partner was the exact same way. So it's, and he's not social.
Over the 2
either,
days.
You know, over the 2 days.
Okay.
That's what it was. And 3 days if you count Saturday.
Okay.
And so it was.
Where the winners play.
What's that?
Winners play on Saturday.
Winners play. No, it would have been. Yeah. Everybody plays, but late in the afternoon, that would have been the winter thing, but the weather came in, and boy, it was amazing.
What kind of weather did you get?
It was just a massive cold front that came incredibly rapidly, and there was probably a differential between. We went from tropical warm to temperatures in the 50s. Within half an hour, you went from 80s to 50. It was something to watch.
I will tell you this. It'll still make you glad to be in Florida and not here. Is that we got 4 inches of snow on Saturday, and it'll be 65 today. That's DC for you right there.
The cruelest month, as
it
my
is.
Father, God
Freezing.
Rest his soul, used to say.
Mm.
The cruelest month, and it's fun. I'm not sure that on the social front. I just told Carla. As far as just sitting around with impounding, you know, brewskis. Mm. I just don't. I don't know.
Maybe you're now, happier.
Maybe I am happier.
That's
maybe
good.
I'm actually happy.
I know that's lame.
That's
to
interesting
say.
Well, it is lame to say, but it's true.
I think you're happier
to a degree. Mm-hmm. I don't. I just don't have the
that
desire.
That place made
as
you
much.
So unhappy. It drove you to drink.
No, but also the fact that he went back there and saw the real environment there that he could put himself
above.
No, it's
fine. It's a great environment. Yeah, it's a great environment. Yeah. I just don't. I don't necessarily. I don't know. I you know, if you took that away, if you took all my vices away, mm-hmm. Food. You gave me a choice. Food. Drink.
Yeah.
Golf. Drink would be. I'd be
the bad
fine
place
with that. I'd be fine. I'm definitely never want to give that up. I love it too much. It's so much fun. Mm. It's self meditation. You know, it's like self hypnosis. That's what it is. But anyway, no procedure. Thank you, Dirk, for reaching out. The reason I didn't respond to you was because of this ruse I was planning on doing when I came back on Monday.
Dirk
my
was just
theater.
Looking at how much time he had to swoop in.
That's right.
My theta.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Captain.
Yeah, so I have to say this. So very happy with a guy much older than me that I won this little tournament flight with. Really grinder, just played as well as I've ever seen him play. So it's the kind, you don't know when you're going to hook up with a guy that's new, that's a playing partner, whether he's going to be that kind. This guy likes winning. Love, clutch. Really terrific. The other thing I will tell you, there's only one thing I don't care for, and I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off right now. The matching shirts in a tournament like this, where that is just...
What do you mean? You have to wear red or blue or orange?
It's like, no, we don't. You don't have to wear matching anything if you don't want with your prior. But there are guys that wore
the
same pattern like it's the Ryder Cup.
Fuck them.
That's an inappropriate word. That's a tier two.
I mean, come on. Yeah. You better win if you're coming out like that. You better win. You better place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Were they at least nice shirts? Or were they like matching T-shirts, like you would see a big family at a theme park?
I'm just going to say this, and now I'm going to out. I don't know their names.
That's fine.
But there were two guys from Buffalo, and one day they wore Sabres hats with a Sabres golf shirt, and then another day the next day they had a. One of those floppy, like, you know, those military floppy hats?
That style of bucket hat that they wear.
And a matching shirt that also had the bill. And I resisted every day with every fiber of my being to walk up and go, hey, are you guys from Buffalo?
Okay, I retract my statement. If it's their sports team, and I thought they got uniforms for this thing.
No, but still matching is pretty bad.
No.
Yeah,
no,
but it's they're
matching.
Putting their colors
on. They look like they're 6 effing years old.
I might be with them though.
You're grown men, for God's sake. Throw on whatever you want to throw on.
I thought they had embroidered like
they're
family
guys
names
that do it.
Or something.
They're guys that do it. I wouldn't even do it with my kid. I wouldn't do it if I was playing with my kid. It's not my bag. Matching.
You could come up with some sort of jive name like the Teetotalers.
Yeah. Mike Square.
Well, in the middle of all of it, I don't know why.
Mike and Mike.
I don't know what it says about
ESPN
me.
Garb.
Golic.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, because when you finish your career, you know, that you get to play once a week, you might as well go for the next easiest profession, which is being a DJ. There you go. No resentment here from the players that, you know, these are smart guys that discovered that. Hey,
right.
I can do that. Anybody can flap their gums for a while. You know, it's like we didn't have enough competition. Bring the athletes in. But anyhow, that's...
In matching shirts.
Always looked at it that way. Yeah. I really have, you know. You know, I remember back in the day when it was all broadcasters. All broadcasters in sports
all
broadcasting.
All white, all broadcasters.
All white, all broadcasters. That's it. Sun of your days, Oscar.
Exactly.
Those were the good old days. All white guys from the Midwest.
That's right. Exactly.
It was wonderful. Yeah. So it was fun. It was good. And thank you for doing that. And, you know, going into this week, I just wanted to say, get it out of the way and say, this time of year, I just want to say I miss my dear sweet mom who passed, I think it's 6 years ago on this week. And so it's a very, very, you know, a bittersweet week for me. And I'll be getting with my sister later in the week, and we'll be celebrating her. But I really, I'm surprised at myself. I have changed where I am no longer the party animal. I think if you get me in a perfect situation, I probably could roar a little bit.
Sure.
But I'm slowing down. Oh, the Oscars watch light is like, if I was a cat, I would be reaching out, like, turn that down, turn it down, to turn it forward, forward, the reflection. I'd be like a cat reaching out on the table to get that.
Kitty cat.
No, it's cool. It kind of like, you know, I'm following
what do you think?
Like a laser pointer.
What do you think determines your ability to roar? Would it be the company you keep at the time? The
no, mood? It's not psychological. I don't think I have a tolerance. I don't think.
You can't cart home.
That too, but it's still
before.
Not.
I mean, I remember Carla would pack you in the back, and you'd be in the back, she'd be in the front.
Just the desire the desire to hang. being gone from there, being gone from there, there is a distance.
Yeah,
there is a distance. I'm no longer part of the team.
Okay,
so
you're from away,
but also
I'm from away. I'm from away now. That's the way I go. But I also
you never really were you there? You never really felt it.
Never,
like
but now. So take one step further away.
So it's pretty bad.
That's right. Yeah. And so, but physically, just you know, there's only one way to do it, and that's for me now, and that is to sit there for a long, long time and pound, 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 and I don't want to do it. The only time I probably felt a little logy in the morning was Saturday morning after I'd come home and had some wine here at the house with my wife.
Did you see and this would be strange for me even today, did you see the person that purchased your home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. He was in the tournament.
In the wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He and I don't socialize that much, but he's there, and I'll always
he's still
have a soft spot in my heart
for him. Thanks for the HVAC system.
Yeah. Now, this guy that purchased your home, he still keeps the large jungle cats in the
That's
backyard?
That's the most amazing question that Oscar has, though. Did you see the guy that purchased your home? And it was a process where I saw him. I did that. Mm. What the hell is wrong with my camera location here? Here we go. Let me see if I can set her up. Just having
yeah, because if I saw someone that now lived where I lived, it would be a little weird.
It's very weird.
It is always a little weird, but not so. There's not a lot of interaction. The one thing you don't
did he point at you and go when you no.
The one thing you don't say when you sell your house to somebody is say to somebody, "Hey, everything working out all right?"
No, you don't.
I mean, that's what this
don't
is.
Pick
it's
you
like,
don't.
It's like when you sell a car.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Hope everything's fine. Don't want to hear about the light headlights. Yeah. Don't want to hear about anything.
Right.
I didn't do anything good. Nefarious. But I don't want to. No. I don't want to know that if one of the areas of the roof.
I had
isn't
a guy
working.
that I gave, not even sold, gave my mom's car away to because my mom was going to give it to Melwood, and I was like, this guy at the radio station could probably use the car if those guys at Melwood have a pretty big advertising.
Was
budget.
It the GM? Of the station?
No, it was a Camry. It was like a Toyota Camry.
No. Did you give it to the GM of the station?
Well, Michael Hughes driving around in a new, like an old Toyota Avalon.
Sure could use that.
So
hey, thank you very much.
I gave this guy the car.
Gotta go down to my Eastport and get ready for my polar swim.
It's like a $1 deal. And I kid you not.
Yes.
He burned me two ways. The second way doesn't matter to this story, but the first time it was like, hey, like there's something up with like the front right headlight. I was like, I remember this.
Was he coming to you and saying that?
Yes.
Oh, not okay.
Hey, he can kiss my Irish ass.
Free car.
Yeah.
Free car. Deal with it, dude. Have some personal responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
You only got a free car. Oscar gave you a free car because he knows you don't have the the intestinal fortitude to go out and get one on your own.
Exactly.
Like straighten your credit out and get yourself a loan to get a little.
It's like you were there.
Santa Fe.
It was one of our old Baltimore colleagues.
There's something wrong with the headlight.
Charm City didn't set him up for success. I remember being on air and he comes
in. It broke down again.
And he says, guys.
When I turn on the blinker, it stays solid.
I got to go. This is middays.
Right.
And then we're like, what? He's like, my Jeep is being repoed as we speak. And we're like, what? And we didn't even know like that actually happened. Like we lived in this like insulated bubble of the world where
we didn't
know what a repo. We had to have him explain to us on air what a repo is.
Repo men are fun.
Yes.
Fun guys.
So they took
that
his
for
Jeep.
Great movie too.
And then for weeks, months, he didn't have a car. And I was like, hey, I think my mom's going to just get rid of this car. Like, she's super nice. Like, she's the charity. Like, do you want to just a dollar? I think that's a transaction.
Right.
And for months, like 3 or 4 months, it was the headlight. And I'm like, hey, man, like, you could just go get a new headlight. I don't think it's that big a deal. Why are you bothering me with this?
You know, you should have repoed the car back.
Yeah, but I should have. But with the house.
Speaking of, have you ever had a car seize?
No.
I had a car seize. I went to Jiffy Lube with my Jeep. With my Jeep Wrangler, and I got it, got the oil changed, and they didn't put the cap back on the oil, and it seized on 395, right next to the FBI building.
Oh wow!
On 395, like that.
Was the engine rescuable after that?
I don't remember. I wish I could remember that. I can remember. It seizing.
Depending on
I
the
think
year.
They were able to fix it. I think they were able to fix it. But that was a, you know.
That's a good point. If you have to seize, you want to be on 395. That's a good
everybody should. Everybody should have a Jeep once in their lifetime. Not, and I'm not talking about a Cherokee. I'm talking about a Wrangler.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Jeep where you got the roll bar.
Yeah,
and I never you can had take one, it off and do fun. That. You know, everybody should have it. But, well, they're not. You know what? Everybody can have one now because now they cost the same $60,000. As other cars.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous what they charge for those cars.
I looked at a Rubicon and I was like, oh, this is probably like $30,000.
Yeah, right.
No. It's like $60,000.
Yeah, you put the Rube in Rubicon.
Like, if you want to get a Moab, it's almost like $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants a Moab?
Exactly. But, I mean, yeah, back in the day, you could buy a used Jeep and get it for, you know, for a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Back in the 1800s.
Do you know there's an actual, and you probably don't even look at cars this way anymore. There's a convertible top on the Jeep that's automatic now.
Really?
Just retracts.
That doesn't seem
Do you know what happened to me? I was looking with the gas prices.
Yeah.
Kia.
Oh, the EV?
Has an EV now.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And they're coming. So I went down and looked at one.
Yeah.
Not kidding you. A little pricey. A lot pricey.
A little funky.
Sticker on the sticker inside. At 52.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it. And the guy, I said, so what are you selling this car for? He said $67,000.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You're selling this car for $15,000 over there." Yeah, and that one that you just test drove, that one right over there that looks like the one you test drove is sold. I said, "Sight unseen." Yeah, I said for $67,000. The same guy that would not test drive a car that he's going to buy would spend $15,000 over stickers. He said, "So, so my car is worth probably $45,000 to $50,000."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, what are you thinking of getting for your car?"
Yeah.
I said, $80,000.
Well, you could probably get more,
and I looked
right?
him dead in the eye and I said, $80,000. $80,000. And
did he laugh? He should have laughed.
Yeah, he laughed. Oh, he laughed heartily, and then I left.
Yeah. Didn't you occasionally...
That Kia does look great.
Didn't you occasionally used to borrow a Jeep from WAVA, like the party patrol vehicle?
The one, I think...
They had a party patrol Jeep for WAVA.
Like a station vehicle?
Yeah, didn't you sometimes borrow that Jeep? I was trying to think.
I borrowed a lot of different vehicles because of different circumstances. Normally, it had to do with where I had parked the night before.
Yes.
That's do you think I could borrow the station van and take one of the interns down to take me to my car?
True or false?
That's what you're remembering.
There's still 4 or 5 automobiles that you don't remember where they are.
And the night of the night of my laryngitis illness at the Shark Club.
Yes.
Who was it? Cannon Grace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Drove me home and ruined my next day. My quote was, listen, drive this. If you get into an accident, I'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, standard type
of
thing.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Just get me home in one piece.
Yeah.
Called by Don the next day. You have to come in here. Cannon's very upset. And I went into the office and Cannon was saying, you threatened to kill me. I'm like, what?
What?
I what? I threat. Yeah. Yeah. He did. Do you remember that, Rob?
I do.
Do you remember that?
He was serious?
Yeah. I got in trouble the next day, too.
I think he was.
I got in trouble the next day, too. It was a hell of a night that night.
It was an incredibly... I had no business being there because I was... I had the worst cold. I called in sick the following day.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, maybe a Thursday night.
Sounds about right.
And I was just a mess, and I got called in because Cannon thought I was going to murder him or something like that, and was crying.
To be fair, Mike, you never murdered anybody.
It was an expression.
Once again, you were hammered, and you said, I'll kill you if we get in an accident.
Exactly.
And then that turned into, some sort of like conversation with management.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with my radio partner.
Oh my God.
Who called and said, you gotta go in and talk to him. And it's just like, and so I went and I talked to him. And it's like, you said this, and you said, I was ass faced. I didn't mean any of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I took him down to the park. I think I took him downstairs and said, well, let me talk to you because I wasn't over it. And I said, do you really think I mean any of that? No, because he was that upset.
Right. Mm. Right.
Mm.
I must have sold it.
Yeah.
I guess I sold it. But that's another thing.
You look back. You can be intimidating when you're hammered.
Yeah.
You look like you're mad.
Yeah, I flipped. Yeah. I flipped. Probably.
Yeah, but I've never felt like
you wouldn't be able to get me to remember what it was. You know, I wouldn't be able to go into a court of law and say, yes, I didn't give him that dirty look.
When you're wrangling kittens or DJs,
yeah,
then you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I remember I was.
You took it quite seriously.
I was in. God. Oh God, I hate myself sometimes. I was in at the beach, yeah. The Bottle and Cork. You know it well, Mike.
Yeah. Yes.
The first time I ever tried ecstasy, not on purpose, longer story.
That I don't know well.
And
sometimes I feel he buries the lead, but go ahead.
And then,
right.
So I'm there with Tim Virgin, still a great friend to this day.
Nice fellow.
Love him.
Still maybe at the Loop right now, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in Chicago, kicking ass.
In Chicago.
Yes.
Great district.
Still in the game.
Still in the game, killing it.
God bless him.
He looks
and at a me, nice program director, right?
Super. Ethic.
Like really
was
amazingly.
Was never my PD. Was that doing afternoons?
But a kind program
just
director.
A nice guy.
Yeah.
Was never my PD, though. We were just contemporaries. I was young in the
okay,
game.
Okay, so you knew
he was
him
teaching
as
me the ropes.
As a fellow radio
yes,
personality.
Yes, yes.
But he was a PD, right?
No, not with us. Just
okay,
a DJ.
So, but,
oh, okay.
But he's
talent.
Always been just a
he's
DJ.
He's always talent.
Okay, well, then maybe that. Well, you can be nice if you're just.
Yeah, talent. He was just awesome.
Okay.
But he looked at me that day. He said, listen. There's a lot of S going on here, and this one broad just spilled a redheaded slut all over my white shirt. I was like, you seem to think that everything's okay because you're on ecstasy. Things are not okay. And he's shaking me, hands outside.
Because you're on ecstasy.
You seem to think things are okay. They're not.
Was that the first time
you
realized?
He was so concerned about you that he had to say that to you.
Yeah, because I'm there to run interference and essentially protect the man, right? Mm-hmm.
Rob, I bet the sound of a certain laugh was probably heard.
it's like you were there. I said,
you seem right? to think.
I said, dude, I was like, you threw a shot behind your back, and that's where I learned that, and splashed her with your shot, so she did it with her shot. And
and
he's like,
a redheaded slut is not exactly a stain-free product.
Correct. No. And he said, well, then why does she keep doing it? I was like, because you're not apologizing. And I'm laughing the whole time. And he's like, this isn't funny. Get her away from me.
Oh, sunnier days.
But to be fair, that was when you found out you were on ecstasy is when he told you?
Yeah, well, I was in a great... Old me would have just like shimmied her away, right?
Sure.
And said, here's... let me show you the prize basket and give her like a CD that she didn't care about.
See, if you're in the area of broadcasting like Pat Zajac, you never have to deal with that, right? Right?
Yeah,
you never
right.
have to be at like...
Right.
You never have to be at Springfest
no.
or anything like that, right? You just
Bike
meet
Fest.
Vanna and suddenly, yes. you know, you're boring and dull for 150 years.
Exactly.
It's fantastic. Mm. I'm so jealous of long-term game show host. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The ultimate DJ gig
yes.
that you can keep forever and make an ass ton of money and then bring your daughter in on Wheel of Fortune who looks like she's getting ready for Vanna to teeter over.
Yeah.
And then, have you seen Pat Zajac's daughter?
No, I have not.
No. Is she on the show?
She comes in with a little promotional announcement occasionally. You don't see her all the time.
Is
That's
her name,
how dull I am now. We watch Wheel of Fortune.
Her name is Nat, isn't it? Short for Natalie?
Nat Zajac. I don't know. We have to move on.
Okay,
anyway, I don't know what we talked about there. Lots to cover on the show. Lots to unpack
I hate
on this
that
episode
expression.
Of the Mike O'Mara
Show. Oh, she is gorgeous. Whoa.
Yes, she is.
Man.
Very pretty. She might favor her mother then.
She could be the letter turner. You know,
wow.
It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I think it should be special. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to Subway. May I take your order?
I suppose so. You look poor, but I want something large to feed many of my friends. I have lots of powerful friends.
How about a 6-foot party sub?
6-foot is so last year. I want a 7-foot sub. All imported meats and cheeses with caviar and 20-carat gold flake.
I'm not sure we can do that.
I find it funny that you would employ that pedophile Jared as a spokesman, but you can't honor my simple request. Why do you dress that way?
It's my uniform.
It's ugly. I hate it.
We can make your sub, but we'll need the money up front.
No problem. Here we go. Here's my Hooters Breast Advantage MasterCard.
We don't take that.
Citibank Foreign National Mileage Card.
That either.
Diners Club Vintage Yummy Card.
That's a no.
Texaco Visa Card.
No.
First National Bank Con Woman Discover Card.
No.
My Kohl's Secret Shopper.
No.
My Target America's Most Wanted Card.
No.
My Kmart Frequent Shopper Card.
No.
My BP International Oil Spill VIP Card.
Declined.
What if I put a $100 bill in the tip jar?
Do you have a $100 bill?
No. I want that sandwich. By the way, would you like to buy an app?
Anna Delvey, the only person who can't shop at the TMOS shopping center, but you can, Target and Walmart. Stock up now for your trip to Morocco at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah. Morocco, baby. She's nice. Going to Morocco.
Of course, got to stock up.
An Anna Delvey promo. Isn't that special? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program is brought to you by Legacy Box.
I love it.
Yay! Woo! Legacy Box makes reclaiming your glory days as easy as 1-2-0-3. Just send in your Legacy Box filled with aging videotapes, 8mm film and pictures, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the USA. You get everything back on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Act now. Did you know that magnetic tape was only made to last 10 to 20 years?
That's true.
I didn't know that. And if it's stored in optimal conditions, it can last 20 years, but otherwise it won't. Digitizing your old media stops the fading, preserves it, and keeps it safe forever. Plus, for a limited time, Legacy Box is running a $9 videotape sale, regularly $27 to $30. The time to act is now. Your memories are meant to be relived, not chewed up by the VCR or worn away by time. Convert your tapes to digital so you can take them anywhere safely. For a limited time, you can get started for just $9 a tape. At this special price, there's never been a better time to convert your entire collection. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/TMOS to unlock this podcast first offer. And we thank you for everything you do, Legacy Box. Nice relationship with them.
We've all used them.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Rob, were you going to say something there?
I was going to say we all have used Legacy Box. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic, yeah. And we
just
love
like
them.
Ecstasy.
And
stop it. Still,
no, it's not. After 40 days of retirement, boo! Tom Brady, boo! Has decided that he'd rather be pursued and mauled by 250-pound linemen again. He came out of retirement.
What is it about
Boo.
That name? The Brady Bunch never goes away. Tom Brady never goes away. They just keep coming back.
Well, he's unretired now.
Yeah. I said,
and he will return to Tampa.
This morning, I said, Shannon, dealer's choice. Which one of these two are real? Russia asks China for military aid or Tom Brady's coming out of retirement? And I said, which one? She said, oh, Brady's back.
Yeah.
She's just right. And I'm like, she was just not shocking. Just like that other old white man that came back before. I'm like, who? She's like, from Green Bay. I said, Brett Favre?
Old white man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
I'm happy.
You're happy he
I'm
came
happy.
Back?
Yes.
Well, he loves the winner.
He needs to go out on a, like he's going to chase, right? And if he gets it, that's great. But if he loses, the people that hate Brady, the people that don't want him around,
right,
that want him to go out on a, like, which is a sad doldrums of not even making the playoffs, a journeyman, then they'll be happy.
He's like a boxer that doesn't know when to say.
Like Brett Favre.
Yeah. He tweeted, Tom did, these past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. Yeah. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all. I'm sure they're happy. They make it all possible. I would think they're not, unless she really doesn't care about them.
Yeah, performance bonuses.
I'm coming back from my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business. This is LFG. What's LFG?
Let's effing go.
Let me. Okay. Also, right. The other side of this. This is not an original point. I saw this on Twitter. Can't give credit because I can't remember who said it.
Mm-hmm.
It took 60 days for him to realize he's not a family man.
That's true.
I got to get
That's
out.
That's absolutely true.
I got to get out.
Somebody spent a small fortune on what should have been a historic piece of sports memorabilia, but ultimately they got robbed. Excuse me. I'm going to sneeze. I don't want to sneeze. It's up. There is so much stuff down here in Florida, pollen in the air. Just hours before Tom Brady,
allergic to Brady.
Announced he was coming out of retirement, an anonymous bidder paid $518,000 for what was supposed to be Tom's final touchdown ball. Oh, poor baby.
Well, Mike,
poor baby with $500,000 to spend on a football.
This guy should keep his fingers crossed, because if Brady doesn't have any touchdowns this year, it's still the last ball.
Well, this goes down. My nephew bought like three Brady jerseys. I said, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, he's retiring." I was like, "No, that dummy's going to come back. Send him back. Return him."
Yeah.
You said that to him?
Yes, yes.
That's funny. The touchdown in question was a 55-yarder to Bucks receiver Mike Evans. Oh, what a great receiver. During their playoff loss to the LA Rams, Evans did that earlier in the season. Evans tossed the ball into the stands. Obviously not thinking about its possible worth. So Evans did that earlier in the season. So there's a guy that caught the ball and sold the ball for $500,000.
Yep,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Feel good for that guy. Okay, William Hurt, he passed away yesterday from natural causes. I hate it when they say that. Yeah. He's 71. I'm 62. I'm 9 years younger than he is. I want to know how he died. Thank you very much.
Him and Bob Saget.
Yeah,
a lot of people probably know him as General Thunderbolt Ross in the Marvel movies, but his career goes much deeper. I know him from broadcast news. He won an Oscar for the film Kiss of the Spider Woman, and he was nominated for Children of a Lesser God, Broadcast News, and A History of Violence. His other films included Body Heat, Kathleen Turner, The Good Shepherd, Altered States, that was a great movie too. The Big Chill, that's one of his first ones.
So great.
The Big Chill is one of the greatest movies ever. You want to go see stars before they were megastars?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that movie. And the 1998 Lost in Space remake. Didn't see that one.
Not as good as The Big Chill. Mike, can I have 60 seconds to play one of my favorite William Hurt moments?
Absolutely.
And I think you'll appreciate this too, because it also has Albert Brooks in it.
How you doing?
Great. Network News, Washington. I love it. What do you do when your real life exceeds your dreams?
Keep it to yourself.
I'm a little intimidated with you.
Oh, stop it. You can't talk about feeling intimidated when you're on top of the world. It's unseemly.
I'm not buying into any of that. I have a load to learn. I'm not going to act as if...
You have the job you have.
Shut up for a second.
Okay. Pretty peppy party, isn't it, pal?
I made one rule for myself when this started, and I realized I was going to take a lot from you people because of being from sports.
And that rule was?
Never to pretend to know more than I did.
Can you name all the members of the cabinet?
Okay, let's drop it.
What?
I mean, I am not going to take a test for you. I mean, if that came up in conversation...
We're conversing. Oh, no, the names of the cabinet have slipped my mind. Say, do you know them? Okay, don't name them for me. Just tell me if you know.
Yes, Aaron, I know the names of the cabinet.
Okay. All 12?
Yes.
There's only 10.
You're feeling good, aren't you?
I'm starting to, yeah.
You know about that movie, that's Broadcast News, Mike?
Yeah.
My mom had never seen Network. And I told her, go to the Turner app on your phone, on your TV, and watch Network. She says, it's really dark and unpleasant, but... they really knew where media was headed back then.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And, you know, broadcast news is a little like that, too.
We have a deeper connection. The scene in where they're at the dinner party. Or, like, I'm sorry, the cocktail party.
Yeah, yeah. Towards the end of the movie.
In the private home.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
In broadcast news.
Yes. It was filmed in Charlie Burney's grandmother's house. In
really?
Yes.
Is that the one where they get called in because of the missile attack?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the old. That's the former producer. The producer gets laid off. That's his house.
Yeah,
that's an old DC neighborhood, yeah. Right?
Isn't that great? Wild?
Yeah. Nice house. Mm. That's cool. Wow. And my car got cut. My car was supposed to be in a scene from Broadcast News, and it got cut. And Dom was supposed to be in Broadcast News, right?
He always said he was.
I don't think he was. Scientists,
it was before videotape.
Scientists in Italy used a complex machine learning process to determine that this equation for breakups is the most important predictor of who will stay together and who will not. It's called the life satisfaction of both partners plus the female partner's percentage of housework. Listen to this.
Okay.
To figure this out, they used artificial intelligence to crunch data from more than 2,000 married couples or cohabitating couples over the average of 12 years. During that time, 45% of the couples broke up, specifically 914 of the 2,038 couples. Life satisfaction and housework were the top two factors. But to get an even more accurate prediction, the four other major defining elements were general marital status, the woman's working hours, the woman's level of openness, and the male's extroversion levels. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how energetic, sociable, and friendly they are.
What's the ratio here?
It doesn't give the ratios. They said personality traits among the relationship partners didn't appear to have a significant impact on breakup risk. It's more the hours she works, how much the hubby helps with the housework, and the husband's extroversion levels in the relationship itself. For example, communicating in an extroverted way wife.
I'll be lucky if she's home when I get there tonight.
Okay, there you go. A lot of extroversion in your relationship?
Not a lot of housework.
But really, when you come home, I mean, you don't communicate with her a lot, right?
Well, she's heard it all. It's been a long time. There's very little I can say that she hasn't heard.
Thank you. Thank
you. 25 years, Mike. Christ
daylight
almighty.
Daylight saving. Boo. I've been with Carla over 18 years now.
Yeah, it's not
20. Not married, but over 18 years.
It's not 25.
But she just started working.
Yeah, and she seems very happy and hope she continues to do so. Thank you. Daylight saving time started, so you lost an hour. I am still low. Hi, Carla.
Sorry.
I'm groggy today.
Just kidding.
Now everyone's asking the same question. Why are we still doing this?
Right.
A poll last fall found 25% of us want to keep it, blah, 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 blah. The main argument against it seems that we just don't know what the effects would be if we just kept one thing all year round. The effects would be we wouldn't notice. For Christ's sake, doing it.
It just happened.
Oh.
You're supposed to set your clocks ahead over the weekend.
It automatically happens, right?
Well, on many clocks, yes.
Not in my car.
True.
I had to dick around with my car for 25 minutes trying to find out how to change the clock.
I didn't know it was last night.
Ridiculous.
Jesus.
Saturday.
Weird.
So for what it's worth, we did try permanent daylight savings time. I say savings. It's supposed to be saving.
Saving, right? Yeah.
Once. It didn't go well. President Nixon did it for 16 months in 74 and 75.
Isn't that great, Pony?
But people complained about their kids going to school in the dark.
Mike, we went back. The Big O and Duke Show had a big movement when we discovered when we were in Arizona that they don't do this.
They don't do it.
They just keep it. And then we did a deeper dive on why. And you're right. It's because of the kids. And we are 25 and 26 or 26 and 27 on air in Arizona. And we had a month-long campaign against daylight savings time. And the campaign was called Lighter Later F the Kids.
And how did it go?
You can tell. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Lighter.
The hardest part.
Have, back in the day, that went well.
Well, there was like a bumper sticker. It was an easy acronym.
As someone who is as OCD as me, the worst part about daylight savings is trying to sync up the microwave clock and the oven clock.
Frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
I'm ready now to make just keep one thing. I don't care which one you keep. Just keep one thing. All got to keep the one with a later day, right?
Why don't we do it just like
better.
Move it by like 25 minutes? Just a little.
Also, we're not dealing at the root of it. And we've touched on this in different iterations of the conversation, but let's be clear. At the root of it, this is prior to all this technology that allows you to see an app on a phone, and when the bus is going to be out there, so they're not freezing their ass off. There's actually a grid in place across the country that allows for street lighting, that they're not just in the dark sitting there doing nothing.
There's an ancient saying that says, it takes a fool to think you could remove a foot of blanket from one side and sew it to the other to make a longer blanket. You still have the same amount of daylight, no matter what you do. So why are we even bothering with it?
Well, what do you want to do? If you have one without changing it, which would you keep?
Lighter later or?
No, I would like it the way it is now. Yeah, so lighter later. Yeah, I don't mind driving to work.
Yeah, so I would like to keep it the way it is
lighter
now.
Lighter later. F the kids.
Yeah.
Never stop it. Thank you. Yeah, I'm with Oscar. F the kids. At Kraft Mac and Cheese flavored ice cream is back. Oh, joy, oh, rapture. And available at Walmart starting today. Oh, we ought to bring some in. They partnered with an ice cream joint in Brooklyn called Van Leeuwen. And when they launched it on Mac and Cheese Day last July, a poll found 43% of people would try it. I would try it just for fun.
Yeah, I would.
If you knew it was savory and it was going to be, but I mean, it still is cold. 48% said no way. 9% were on the fence. Walmart is actually selling 7 Van Leeuwen's flavors, including another one that's either delicious or disgusting. Pizza flavored ice cream.
I would think pizza almost might be better than mac and cheese.
I try it for the novelty.
Yeah.
Well, today's pie day. Pie day.
Yes, it is.
They described it as cream cheese and mozzarella ice cream with a tomato jam swirl and basil crust cookies.
Ugh.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
Do you know what they used to call macaroni and cheese when Robert was in middle school at the cafeteria?
What's that?
Mac and sneeze.
Why?
Because it looked like snot.
Oh, the kids did that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The cafeteria lady did not.
You got to say, what did the kids call it?
Forgive
you dummy.
Me. Forgive me.
Pints of both versions, along with the other 5 flavors, will be available at Walmarts in all 50 states for the next 10 weeks. The other 5 flavors sound pretty decent. Hot honey, royal wedding cake, bourbon cherries jubilee, wild blueberry shortcake, and planet earth, which is almond and matcha flavored. What's matcha?
I don't know.
Mocha?
Green tea. It's matcha.
Matcha. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry they don't have your
Macchio.
Sorry they don't have your favorite flavor.
What's that?
Redheaded slut with ecstasy.
Those chunks.
Eat it over the shoulder. All right, now a little something something. 25-year-old Johnson LaRose. Why am I laughing at my kicker already?
Take a breath.
It's not particularly funny.
Is it because of the name? Laugh. Is it the name, Johnson LaRose?
You know, it's not the name. It's a name, though.
Okay, good. Good, good.
You're going to see this joke, Rob, coming probably 5 miles away.
I will not spoil it.
25-year-old Johnson LaRose and 24-year-old Charlotte Fisher, known on YouTube as Saucy and Honey, pulled off an interesting stunt last month. They went into a Target just before it closed and hid behind some boxes on a shelf where they made a fort. They even brought their own water and snacks. They filmed a bunch of video footage of themselves wandering around the Target overnight and repeatedly claimed that they were staying until the store opened at 8 a.m. They even showed the times on their phones every hour or so. But the police have surveillance footage of Saucy and Honey leaving the store through an emergency exit at 2:56 a.m. Mm. They cheated. Now, what they also did is they tripped the alarm when they left. The cops say they returned when the store opened and filmed more stuff, pretending like they were coming out of their hiding spot to leave.
Cheaters.
God, because they just couldn't even pull that off. Right. They have a lazy job anyway, and they're so lazy they can't even tough it out for a night. Saucy and Honey are telling us not to believe the stories that they left early. But they have a court date, so we'll just have to wait and see. Saucy and Honey was also the morning show that I interned on in the 70s when I worked with Tim Gunn and the comedian Monique. Thank you very much.
I did not see Tim Gunn coming.
Tim Gunn, yeah.
I like that.
Should have been me. Yeah, very exciting. We have to take a break. We'll come back. We have tons of stuff to talk about.
Tons of.
Oscar goes to an Amazon to-go store. And we'll see what happens with that. And more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Throat.
Yeah. Who's going to play the Batman villain this weekend? Mark Riddell.
God damn it, Twitch.
Do it in two, Joker product!
Howdy,
in a secret hidden lair in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, the evil Dr. Twitch plots his next caper along with his sidekick, a Monotron henchman.
I have to admit, even for me, it's evil genius.
What's the plan, Twitch?
We slowly shut off the promo pipeline leading to the Mike O'Mara Show until Mike is enraged about the lack of new content, and chaos will ensue. Rob will take all the blame.
And Booney will lie and scratch his face about technical problems.
From there, it's a simple smash and grab job.
Then we cover our tracks by buying fabulous jewels from the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center by clicking the link
to the Batcave.
Wow, that's all right. I guess they were on ecstasy as well. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Time is money. Excuse me.
Yes.
Don't waste time with repeated trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and you can focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you money in the process. So you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Because isn't happy the best way to be?
I love it. And fun is the best thing to have.
For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been a must for over 1 million businesses. Stamps.com gives you access to all the shipping services you need, plus exclusive discounts like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. All you need is a computer and a standard printer, and you're up and running in minutes. Printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. This is what I want you to do. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code TMOS for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. And no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter the code TMOS. Oscar sent us an hysterical piece of Saturday Night Live where they were talking about going into the Amazon Go store. And it just, if you get a chance to see the sketch,
it was a pretty good episode this week. It was a pretty good episode this week. Zoe Kravitz.
Let me educate everybody about these stores because they're not everywhere. Amazon, there's three different tiers. There's Amazon Go, which is your convenient style to go, you know, some fresh foods, but nothing crazy. It's like the
more like a high between like a convenience bodega, store and a regular grocery.
Like a bodega convenience store, but higher end. There's Amazon Fresh, which is a grocery store that is just based from Amazon. And then there's Whole Foods, which is, you know, I guess their staple brand. And you remember years ago when Amazon purchased Whole Foods, it was a big deal. We were always wondering, like, what's going to happen? Like, what is going on? Like, what are they trying to do? And early on, Mike, you talked about this when it happened. I remember having this conversation with you guys. You said, how is Amazon going to take over the grocery game? How are they going to change it? Because this is
I should have known it was technology that was going to be the
way we discussed it, and you were close with your early. This is it's not. I'm not going to say this is a Rock type situation when you call The Rock being a superstar before anybody knew The Rock was going to be a superstar, Dwayne Johnson. But you did mention that's like, great, now I'm just going to walk in and it's going to be all computers.
And I
walk out. So. The Amazon Go skit that you saw on Saturday Night Live is for their bodega that's already available in New York.
Right.
This Whole Foods walk out and pay with the Amazon One technology is what this all is about.
So the sketch is hysterical because it has Keenan and a lot of other African-American cast members that are paranoid about being accused of theft.
Yes. Right.
And it's fracturingly funny
because
the way
they do it. Because just to explain the technology for those of you at home, now that I've broken down Amazon, Amazon Fresh, Amazon Go, and Whole Foods, all but owned by Amazon, all using Amazon One technology, is that you walk in, and I had the first experience with this because I went to the Whole Foods. By the way, one of two in the country. Didn't realize that.
That's cool.
There's one in Sherman Oaks and one in Glover Park.
Okay.
And the technology is you walk in, take something off the shelf, and it automatically puts it on your Amazon One, right?
It puts it on your account. Like a tab.
Is it the old Home Food, the old Whole Foods?
That looks like an Apple store inside. It's got computers everywhere.
Wow. So that was the big remodel they were doing.
Yes.
when we thought they were just
doing down.
Because they had rats. It was that and the exterminator. That was it. Yes, it was a twofold deal.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But when I walk in, they stop you at the front and they say, how would you like to proceed today? It's before you even walk in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Full customer, like you're a genius, Bart. And they're like, do you have an Amazon One account? I said, no, I don't. How do I sign up? They scan your right palm and your left palm. That's what you use to pay is your palm.
All right, when you walk out. This is getting cool. This is getting cool.
You're going to have to buy groceries, Dave.
Do you want milk and bread, Dave? They say, do you have an Amazon Prime account? They're like, perfect, you do. And then do you have the card associated with your Amazon? I said, I have one of the cards. Like, no problem. So you put the little card in front because you want the two-factor authentication when you first sign up. They scan both your palms. Doesn't take more than, I would say, 4 minutes. And then, boom, you're good to go. And then you walk in the store. And I, like the skit, am not comfortable taking things out and just putting them in my backpack because it feels like I'm stealing.
Yeah.
And I, who am brown, also have this whole next level of
you get paranoid.
Of lens of like, I don't want people to think about, like, I'm so used to people following me around in 7-Eleven.
All right, let me stop. Let me stop you. So you would be better with taking like a cart, but the technology exists so that if you want, say, a couple of things and you do have a backpack, you can just take it off the shelf, put it in your bag, or you can bring your own bag in there.
They promote. They're all about this new footprint of lowering your carbon footprint. They're like, bring your own bag, use your backpack, use your purse. Like they promote that.
It is against everything we've ever been taught. You know,
in the grocery store, yeah, it's all about bags and carts,
yes,
and plastic.
The closest
and paper.
I've seen to this is when you at some giant stores, Giant, you can get the gun, scan your groceries as you go, and then you pay as you leave. But still,
this is so much better.
Oh my God!
This is next generation.
Yeah, of course.
By the way, that's the death rattle that's on the way to all these large grocery stores.
Actually, it was
because they're all going to have to evolve or die.
Yeah. They're going to have to evolve or die, and who's going to compete against a multi-billion-dollar technology company?
But they're going to have to, and they'll figure it out because the technology.
I don't want Giant to go away.
All right, what if you're doing your weekly grocery shopping?
You can get a cart.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And
all right.
I saw it happen firsthand. I bought.
But you can go from that full cart right out to the parking lot and you can do your own like bagging or whatever, right?
I am so excited about this. I call my wife and she's on the Peloton. It's like 11 a.m. Sunday.
Yes.
And she says, what? And I said, this new Whole Foods is amazing. And I'm walking around. I was like, watch. I can just put stuff away.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
I don't care if the food sucks. It's amazing.
Do you need anything? Does the food suck?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I was like, I don't know this. I'm not a Whole Foods guy. I don't know enough about this.
Yeah. What did you purchase?
She directed me towards strawberries and vegetables and then some orange juice. It wasn't anything. I didn't need anything.
Healthy eating.
I just saw that it was open.
No chicken fingers?
No chicken fingers. I'm sure they have them.
Next time for sure.
I put it all in the cart. I walk out. I put my palm over the little checkout, and then it opens up like I'm at an amusement park, and I'm done.
Or a Subway, right?
I own Subway, and I'm done.
That's awesome.
And I felt weird the whole time. I'm looking around for someone to stop me, like when you think someone left a tag on one of your electronics at the Best Buy, where you're
sure.
Like, this thing's going to go off.
Right.
I get in the elevator. I'm waiting for someone to come, like, knock on the door and say, like, oh, whoa, 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 this didn't work. So frictionless.
Now, I know.
You don't have to talk to anybody. There's no ams, ohms, ohms, nothing. And I was like, something's going to be effed up on my receipt.
Well, what's going to be effed up is they're going to track you for the rest of your life.
I look at the receipt.
This guy likes strawberries.
How do you think they track you when you put your phone number in the grocery store for your gas points? That's how they're tracking you.
Of course,
as well.
Yeah. It's the
same deals.
Right.
And I look at it and I'm like, everything's to the item perfect.
I know you don't shop much. You don't shop much. Did you feel there was any difference in the price? Did it feel a little higher?
This is what's great is Whole Foods, and I knew this from business school, is that when we did a case study on them, they get you by making all the staples like orange juice and milk and like vegetables, all the stuff that you think there should be a markup on. They have like the most competitive pricing. Mm-hmm. Where they get you is when you get the Alaskan sea bass in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gluten-free granola. Yeah,
yes, yes. I didn't even
get the pre-cut charcuterie board. Very pricey.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. That's awesome.
Very cool.
I'd love to try that.
Probably, if you were scared about the self-checkout, this is next generation where you don't even have to hit any buttons.
We have there was a news story down here in Southwest Florida. We're supposed to be getting one of those stores in, it's going to be next January of 2038.
Oh, fun.
We're very, very excited about it. We'll be right back, everybody.
Oh, Paisans! The Mike O'Mara Show can be watched on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to on iTunes and Spotify. Now I present to you the show's next conquest, TikTok. Check out video clips of the show with new content every day. Click on at Mike O'Mara Show and follow today. Capiche? Grazie. Now back to our capo, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Polly. We appreciate that. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Dadgrass. Mellower vibes are just a drop or a toke away with Dadgrass.
Yes.
Dadgrass will take you back to a time when music was on vinyl, Delta was an airline, and hipsters were a style of jeans. Sit back, light up, and chill out the old-fashioned way. Sweet dreams are made of CBD. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD. So you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine
instead of the whole bottle this weekend.
It's fantastic. You did. How did you do with the tincture?
I watched Monsters, Inc. That is such a funny movie.
I love it. I stand by.
Glad you enjoyed it. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man. That's Rob who put that in there. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS.
Mike, when you get yours, please.
Let us know.
I can't wait to
Is it on the way, boys?
It is.
Because I'm waiting.
And I'll follow up today to make sure they
Let me ask you.
Light a fire under it.
Does the Whole Foods touchless pay, does it creep you out? Because I got a text from a friend that said, it's a Minority Report situation. Like, I don't know how I feel about it.
To a degree, if you overthink it and you think about that, it might be something that makes you feel like that. But no, I love technology. I love the
I love technology.
I don't think anything that may, I hate the inconvenience of retail in any shape or form.
Remove
of
friction.
Waiting for someone to, you know, it's so, it can, Mike, be glacial. You know, yes.
I'm the most invested in the grocery game of all of us.
Why? Because you work. Because
I work
there.
I work there. Yeah. I work at Safeway.
Yeah, it's a fellow, I'm sure miners miss mining. You know, they don't have to do that all the time.
That doesn't make any sense, so let me move on.
No.
The fact is that I was anti-self-checkout because I thought it was putting the onus on the consumer, and it's a slow process because they're not good at checking. This speeds the process, and as someone who is violently against self-checkout, I love this.
What's frustrating with self-checkout is, anybody's got a Walmart in their neighborhood where they have a self-checkout. And in our particular Walmart, you've got the self-checkout line that practically curves around into the store. It's like they've not perfected it.
Right.
Self-checkout sucks.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work as efficiently as people thought. What Walmart thought, we've got self-checkout. We don't have anybody at the regular checkout anymore. It doesn't. The whole process doesn't work. So this, to me, is a step forward.
It's huge.
Where it will speed things up. It's great.
I talked to one of their associates because what they have in a new store like this, they have a lot of people around just in case you're confused or things are happening. So they're walking around being like, hey, do you need any help?
Now,
like, this is how this works.
Is the associate also a robot?
No.
Hello, Oscar.
This young guy. I said, hey, man, are people into this? Mind you, Amazon's stock just split 21 to 1 you're getting 22 shares for every one share you had in the past. That's going to come up sometime soon. So you start thinking about if this is going to be a huge differentiator and they're going to disrupt the entire grocery game.
Right. What does this mean for its stock? Disrupted.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I sit there and I'm like, oh, hey man, like how are people adapting to this? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, are you getting a lot of complaints? Or like, this is before I saw the skit on Saturday Night Live. He said, you know who loves this? Parents. When they're checking out, they don't have to have their kids whine about buying candies or getting anything.
Pony, what are you doing? What are you texting me for? Pony writes this. Did you get Pony? Did you get Pony's text that says, Amazon is paving the way for the mark of the beast? And then he says, don't send me a flipping link during the show that I have to look at.
Yeah, pictures.
Now I have to open that.
Producing 101. No one's going to read an article in the middle of a story.
I don't know. Hit pause, Pony. God. We're all going to read this.
Several Christian websites, I have to share this one, are expressing concern that Amazon's plans to create technology allowing people to make purchases with their hand is paving the way for the mark of the beast.
And Mike, the best part about this article, I mean, granted, they're facts, but look at the clip art for the guy.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
High quality.
Yeah.
High quality.
Google.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think it's a good thing. When you're it's going to be very good.
But when you're
good.
Checking out, I guess the young man said, he said, moms and dads usually, they're like thankful they don't have to wait with their kids.
The impulse
kids
buys. Yeah.
Wine for impulse buys.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal alleges that Amazon has applied for a patent involving a non-contact biometric identification system that would be tied to scans of a person's palm.
Well, it's happening.
That's great.
So they're tracking. Yeah, you scanned your palm already. Mm-hmm. They have you.
They got me. You
are there. You will not be able to run away from the exploding head for Running Man.
It's Amazon.com and Brazzers.com. They got me.
Both great. And both involve your palm.
That's true. Mark of the Beast alert.
I'm sorry. Was that anything?
Hey, before we get to Soundtown, I did want to give you a reco. The whole family sat down over the weekend and watched King Richard, the story about Richard
with Will Smith.
Williams.
I've seen it.
And it was absolutely terrific. Was it as good as Coda? I don't believe so, but I thought it was fantastic and really tells the story of what that man went through. By the way, you can take all the parents in the world that think there's a formula. I just want to give a caveat here about King Richard.
What do you mean the formula? What do you mean?
All right. King Richard would tell you, at least the way he does it, is that he had a game plan for turning his daughters into champion tennis players since before they were born. It doesn't work unless those children are athletically inclined.
Right.
They happen to have a father and a mother who he says were athletes.
Correct.
So he's got that going for him. But you have to have the genetic ability to perform at a high level before you are molded into the players.
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
Are you listening, Bob Spiewak?
This is the story of a man who sacrifices his world to develop two of his five daughters into absolute superstar athletes and knows that it's going to work and goes through a lot of crap, working
no
a job
mercy.
Overnight, no mercy. Yeah. And it was, I thought it was inspiring and, you know, another pleat in Will Smith's cape. It really, really was fantastic.
It leans a little more mainstream than your Coda movie. Do you think the fact that it is a little more mainstream, will this be Will Smith's ticket to winning?
He's going to win. He has
I don't know. I don't know.
His performance.
Because he's got.
I didn't think of Will Smith one time, and usually I think of Will Smith while
he's got such a box office history. He's showbiz now.
Look, he's talented, and it's a great
movie.
But
in Ali, I thought he looked like Will Smith.
I did too.
You know, I'm not sure how I come down on the Oscar thing. I have to tell you that the guy, the deaf actor that plays the father in Coda is spectacular to me because he's so expressive with his face. I will tell you this, the supporting cast in King Richard, the daughters, and I believe the woman who plays his wife, she got a supporting actress nomination, deserved. I love the whole thing, and it's a feel-good movie about what he went through, and it kind of shows you what it takes behind the scenes with these overinflated egos that teach these kids. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of that in what they call the luxury sports of golf and tennis. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, oh, my kid, you know, guys making bank on top of bank that are teaching kids that probably don't have a chance. You know, I mean, it's still like baseball, football, anyway. The odds of getting to the top of the mountain are minuscule. This guy was an outlier. And in tennis, the practice hours required for tennis are significantly more than you would get in certain other sports.
What did you take away as a father of you know, I think is
a young youngster?
An emerging superstar is and our God's
right. We'll go with that.
Yes. What did you think of the work ethic? I was so impressed by the work ethic. It was
the
like,
work
go,
ethic
go,
was
go go go
it was,
go
it was
go
constant.
No mercy.
That's what took them from the raw natural talent, but you have to be able to evaluate the raw natural talent. And there are probably a lot of families out there that are doing the same thing he did with the work, where the raw talent is not there.
Oh, correct.
There.
Right.
And that's a sad situation.
Yeah. If you got kid or a young lady, a son that's running with her palms up, don't do this. Don't do this.
And you saw the kids that are, you know, the type of parents that do this.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I've got the chip in me. I think I'm more of an inch deep, mile wide. My son likes to compete. He enjoys that. But I just don't have the chip in me that I'm going to be the stage dad. I just don't have that. However, if there, as he gets to be 9, 10, if he starts to show an aptitude for something, I'm here to tell you, one of the advantages of being a 62-year-old dad is that I will be throwing my little golf world away and taking that time to kind of put into him. I plan on doing that. Yep, exactly what I would do if there was an aptitude there, but there's no guarantee there is, and you don't know. And I think that when you watch a guy like King Richard, you know, he's one in a million, one in 2 million, one in 10 million.
I don't look at it, and I hope parents don't look at it and be like, that's what I have to, that's the playbook. No, that's not the playbook. He was also fighting to get his family out of abject poverty.
Well, and he also had, incredible A students in every aspect of that. Yeah. He just ran a type shit. And when he looks at the, the social services people that are called by that horrible neighbor across the street who's jealous of everything they do, he said, we are hard on them.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think that, you know, you got to weigh it. You got to weigh it all. And I think that probably a lot of parents feel that way. You know, maybe I let him coast a little bit too much. So who knows? We'll have to wait. We got to take a break. Soundtown coming up next right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, running with your palms up.
Yeah, that's not how you want to do it.
No.
That's funny. I'll be thinking about that
living
one all
proof
day. That
right
tiny,
here.
That tiny.
Oh, wait. I'm picturing Rob running.
We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you missed the latest bonus show, you missed a lot.
Hello, America.
It's a spicy day for the hot tamales.
This is a garbage idea.
Turn your radio down.
Is this me?
Do you have a favorite color?
No.
Pony, can you get me tickets to see Rogue One?
No, I can't.
It's a different energy.
The TMOS bonus show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of comedy power, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or a whole year. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Get your subscription today. Click the bonus show banner now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Thank you very much, Jim Amato. This March, dump the madness of your old expensive shaving routine by trying Harry's.
Harry's.
Betting on the underdog can pay off big, especially with a company like Harry's that teams up top quality and construction methods with incredibly fair pricing. New customers can redeem a Harry's trial set for just $3 when you go to harrys.com/TMOS. You shouldn't have to choose between a close, comfortable shave and a fair price. So they give you both. Harry's blades are designed to stay sharp longer. In a recent study, guys who shave 4 times a week said their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. It is a better experience, every shave, and big savings over time. And it feels good to support an up-and-comer instead of big razor.
I hate big razor.
Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/TMOS to try Harry's today. And we love Harry's, and we're glad to have him back on the Michael Mara Show, everybody.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound town.
It seems like lots of the best news tapes come from Los Angeles. And there's a guy on KTLA named Gene Kang who was covering a hit-and-run accident on a certain street in Los Angeles. Mm. While he's covering it, what happens behind him? I want to say no one was hurt. But another hit-and-run happens behind him live while he's doing his stand-up.
You see Hoover Street here. Officials say it's one of the most dangerous streets in all of Los Angeles. And now...
KTLA has gotten the license plate of the cars involved and is fully cooperating with the police.
There's the Fox affiliate. I think it's Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. But these guys were so smarmy and cavalier and chill about a potential life-threatening, police chase.
Yeah.
That it pisses me off. I like guys that call it balls and strikes, where it's just... straight news reporting, but there are a couple of you. Well, now what's he doing?
Hey, oh, like all right. That. Well,
have you heard those kind of guys that are just asses?
They get them
asses?
A lot, and I think they're used to it, and they don't realize the importance of the situation they're covering.
Well, yeah, especially when it might be a graphic ending to the police chase if the guy's like, pulling a gun. I find it distasteful. It's not cool.
So Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian are now, social media official, which is nice, I suppose. But Kanye is not dealing with it well. Ye was texting with Pete Davidson, and he asked where he was, and apparently Pete Davidson texted back a selfie. He said, "I'm in bed with Kim."
Yeah, I saw that.
And so how does Ye deal with it? He prays to God on TikTok. He posts his prayer on TikTok.
God, please, the boyfriend texts me, antagonizing me, bragging about being in bed with my wife. I thought publicly for a year and a half I've been dragged, and how she not my wife. She don't have a last name. And now he texting me talking and bragging about how he's in bed with my wife. And I'm like, well, who's watching my children?
So
the nannies.
Exactly.
Man, I am so sick of this.
Right?
I can't even begin to. I'm so sick of Pete Davidson.
Uh-oh.
I'm so sick of Kanye. No. I mean, it's
I'm not
just
sick of Pete
Davidson.
No.
Pizza comedian, but I mean this crap. And I tell you, when Pete Davidson engages with Kanye, like, we're not going to take it anymore, I'm getting the total vibe where, I wonder about the relationship with Kim Kardashian. I really do. I think it's probably, on a certain level, satisfying for Pete, but I think most of that is just Pete's lovingness.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loving this, fueling the fire. I mean, fantastic.
It's also, the timing is a little off. If you really think about this, and I know this very well because I follow the story, unfortunately, is that...
we all did. It's hard not to.
This past week, Kim Kardashian was being attacked for something that she says on camera in the trailer for a new season.
All right.
Where she is she's basically saying that she's telling women to stop being lazy, get off your ass and get to work. And you hear one of her sisters in the background be like, yeah, get off your ass and get to work. Like, it's time to get up and get going.
Right.
This is coming from a billionaire.
Who made her fame by getting banged.
It's a notoriety, not really talent, right?
And not nearly hard work.
Yes.
It's
so
luck.
The internet turned on her.
Good.
For 3 or 4 days. And then boom, all of a sudden you see the first post of her and Pete on Instagram. Changing the narrative.
That's what she does. She knows how to do it.
It's just because they are so handled.
Yes.
And they manipulate it so bad. And it is a drain on the intellectual capacity of all Americans that we focus on these people. On all three of these people, Pete, Kim, Kanye, it is just Move on, folks. I got news for you. There's a little thing floating around out there. We ought to pay attention called the potential of nuclear war.
I thought you were going to say the outbreak in Shenzhen, China.
No. No. Yes, China's getting more COVID now. Hallelujah. We thought it was over. Way to go, China. But I think China, hopefully.
Way to go, China.
In the export capital of the world. A lot of containers
in the export capital.
Been there.
Let me get real quick because I know we're all over the place. We're running out of time. China. I don't think China's going to help Russia. I don't think China's going to help Russia. I just don't. I just don't think so. China bets on a winner.
Yes. That's
China
true.
Bets on a winner, and Russia's
China's
not a winner.
Like
they're the Macau of the world.
All right, let's
they just want to win.
All right, go ahead.
Let's
Sorry.
Close with this. Did you watch CBS Sunday Morning yesterday?
I did not.
Pretty good interview with Keith Richards. Amazingly, secretly, and under the wire, Keith quit smoking. After 55 years, Keith Richards is no longer smoking.
Oh, fantastic.
Or even more than that, like 60 years. But also, this was a great comment. You know how a lot of people are selling their catalogs? I know Neil Young did.
Yep.
Neil Diamond did. A lot of people. They asked Keith about selling his catalog.
The Stones are planning to be back on tour this summer.
You look forward to it?
Oh, yeah.
To celebrate 60 years of making music.
There are a lot of artists who are selling their catalogs right now. When you see that going on, what do you think?
Mick and I have not spoken about it on a serious level. I don't know if we're ready to sell our catalog. We might drag it out a bit.
Yeah,
put some more stuff in it. You only think about selling your catalog when that's a sign of getting old.
Yeah, the fact that his face looks like a relief map of the desert, that's not
God
a sign of looking
them.
Old.
Yeah, the Stones get to play until they die.
That's true.
That's
for them.
That's the way it is. Charlie Watts is gone. Now let them play till they die. And hey, Keith, thank you for quitting smoking.
Yeah, and I misspoke. It's like
to keep you along
70 years. I mean, it's a long, long time that he's been smoking. So
good.
Anyway,
good. As a child of parents that quit smoking, he will see immediate health benefits.
He actually sounds better than he has in the past couple of years, right?
Do you remember those laughs where it's like?
Yeah. Anyway, and when he did that interview, he was in bed with Kim Kardashian. That's all I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
That's it. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man. That's a nice little palate cleanser with Keith at the end.
Thank you.
But, you know, it's just hard for me to focus on Kim and Kanye and Pete when what's going on over there, man.
Put it out of your mind and watch that Keith segment from CBS. It's great.
I'd like to. Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you to Robin Oscar for covering for me last week.
Pleasure.
I truly appreciate that. We'll be back with a brand new one tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sayonara, sucker! Wow. I'm a phony, just like you. Ah!